You're listening to The Tech Agenda with Ian Kyo, powered by PwC. The Currency.News. It pays to be curious.
All organisations are experimenting with generative AI, or at least they should be. But already the conversation is starting to move to agentic AI. But what is it? How can you implement it? And what will it do to your bottom line? These are all issues we're going to discuss in this episode of The Tech Agenda, where we're exploring one of the most important and evolving areas of AI today, agentic AI. And to help unpick the details, I'm joined by David Lee, the Chief Technology Officer of PwC Ireland. David, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
David, people are confused, right? On one sense, you have AI, then you have Gen AI, and now a new form of AI. You might just talk us through it.
Okay, so let's first look at Gen AI. So Gen AI has very much been focused on the world of intelligent information retrieval and interrogation. Whereas when we start looking at agentic AI, it takes us into the world of workflow automation. So if I look for a definition, so agentic AI systems are systems that possess the capacity to make autonomous decisions and take actions to achieve specific goals with limited or no direct human intervention. So let me unbundle that for a minute.
Yeah, let's unpick it.
So autonomy, so the ability to make decisions in isolation from a human, is a feature of agentic-based AI, which would not have been present in what we've seen to date from a Gen AI perspective. Gen AI has been very helpful in terms of automating tasks for an individual, as opposed to end-to-end activities for a business. So the goal-oriented behaviour of agentic AI systems provide organisations with the ability to solve more complex problems. I also mentioned workflow in my definition. So rather than doing standalone activities, it allows the linking together of workflows to complete end-to-end processes, which help organisations again untap some of the benefits and advantages associated with AI. It also is multi-agent and system conversation supporting. By that I mean it has the ability to take data from multiple different sources within an organisation, parse them together to answer more complex problems.
So just to come in on that, right? Yeah. So we've seen AI, we've all played with ChatGPT and we've seen Gen AI. But this is more, when you talk about agentic AI, it's more enterprise-wide, what it can do for the company as opposed to for an individual just playing and trying things out.
Correct. I think one of the challenges organisations have had with Gen AI to date is monetizing the advantages. So it's all very well for you and I to have personal productivity gains, but if that doesn't translate itself in terms of increased profitability for an organisation, it's difficult to justify the investment. So perhaps maybe if I gave one or two examples,
yeah, please,
to make
yeah.
it real for people. So if we look at a process that all organisations face, namely the onboarding of new employees, that process, when you start to think about it, requires you to interact with finance systems and functions, HR systems and functions, IT systems and functions. It's also the first interaction that an employee has with their new organisation. So the application of agentic AI enables those end-to-end processes to be addressed in a far more seamless and automated way than currently would be the case for the individual.
So an individual joins and everything is set up for them, as opposed to, and we've all been there, we've all had new employees joining and someone's trying to get the computer set up, make sure they have the email set up, the phone numbers, and that they've accessed everything. This will do that seamlessly in a proper way.
In a more proper way that gets done, I suppose, in a faster end-to-end delivery, and then you'd expect as a much more, I suppose, seamless and enjoyable onboarding experience for the individual.
Let me take a step back, right? You're Chief Technology Officer with PwC. On one sense, most of the CTOs I've met have been internally focused. Your job is more hybristic. You're inward focused, but you also deal with clients.
That's correct. Before I took on the role, I was responsible for our day-to-day technology consulting engagements with our clients. I now have that role in terms of setting our own internal direction in the use of technology, including but not limited to AI. So in one sense, I now have to eat my own dog food in terms of what I do. And I suppose it's a very good way to be able to live the experience yourself and put yourself in the shoes of your clients in terms of what they're facing on a day-to-day basis.
And just, there is this idea, it's like AI, A, it's coming from my jobs, but the other thing is that it'll do everything for everyone.
Yeah.
It's not the panacea, at least not according to you.
Yeah, no, absolutely not the panacea. And maybe if I just step back for a moment and look at in terms of the types of organisations that we're dealing with and the types of challenges that they're facing, so that we maybe can understand how better that AI has a role to play. So we do a survey of our clients on a global basis every year at CEO level. And it was just interesting to see the findings from this year's survey, where 3 out of 10 of the Irish respondents said they didn't believe their own organisation would exist in its current form within the next decade. So the case for change within organisations has never been more pronounced. You then look in terms of getting insight in terms of how they viewed AI as having a role. Over 90% of them saw their own organisations being changed in terms of their processes and their workflows through AI within the next 3-year window. The slight anomaly with that when you start looking in terms of current behaviour is that probably only about a fifth of them are able to put their hand on the profitability advantages of using AI to date. So if you try to understand why does there appear to be kind of a value gap between the potential and the lived experience. So if you stand back and kind of understand what are some of the inhibitors to people making best advantage of the capabilities that are there from an AI perspective, they broadly fall under 5 headings.
Okay, so they fall, because I think it's a really interesting point, David, which is we all think we're going to make loads of money from this, we're cutting costs, we're adding value. So what are those inhibitors?
The first is probably an ability to articulate a business case for the investment. And some of this is a function of where we've come from. So organisations have come off large investments in digitisation of their organisations with mixed experience in terms of the ability to, again, identify the benefits associated with it. So you're starting with a business community who are a little bit cautious in terms of, if I make this investment, will I actually get the return? The second, I suppose, is a very strong acknowledgement that the skills required to take advantage of the technology are quite different from the technology or from the skills that exist within the organisations currently. And these are not the skills vested in your IT function, but rather the capabilities you need to build into the rest of your workforce. So the same survey I referenced earlier would have shown that over 70% of respondents recognised that one of the main inhibitors for them taking advantage of AI is they reckon the upskilling required for their own employees was quite significant. It's also a different type of upskilling to what we have experienced with other technologies. We've all been involved in the introduction of technology where you train people, they use it and you move on. Whereas the pace of evolution in AI means you train people, they use it, you have to train them again because it has changed. And even in the 6 months, so we, as for our own IT direction within PwC, we're just planning in 6-monthly increments.
That's how you work it. It's beyond that, it's pointless.
Beyond that, it's pointless because the pace of evolution is such that you need to constantly review and revisit what you're doing. The third area, I suppose, that people see as an inhibitor to the adoption and benefit realisation from AI is the whole business controls area. And if you think of people's concern over inappropriately using AI in an environment, either with their own employee data or with that of their customers or clients. And we have a Gen AI centre that we run in collaboration with Microsoft. And over the last 12 months, we've had over 100 different groups through it. And one thing I really, really take away from those is, regardless of the sector or nature of the organisation, they're all immensely proud and aware of the relationships of trust that they've developed over the years. So for them, the trust they have with their employees, the trust that they have with their customers, the relationships they have with their regulators, and ultimately the relationships they have with their stakeholders. So they're not willing to kind of blindly go forward with a technology which is yet to be proven in some regards and trust their business with that. So part of that evolution in terms of people experiencing the technology is to enable them to trust the technology. And what we have definitely seen in the last 12 months is a very pronounced uplift in the number of organisations in the Irish market who are actually experimenting with the technologies.
So, David, you mentioned that there's five. You've talked about four of them. What's the fifth?
The fifth is dealing with the heightened cyber risk that is associated with Gen AI.
And wherever you go with cyber, you keep on hearing it, cyber, cyber, cyber.
Yeah, and I guess, unfortunately, Gen AI is not just a tool for the good actors. It's also available to the bad actors. So when we surveyed our CEOs, over 80% of them believe that they will have an increase in cyber risk over the coming 12 months. And that's reflective in their own investment plans for the coming 12 months, where more than half of them are saying that they will invest more in cyber to protect the organisation from the heightened risk from a cyber perspective.
It's an interesting point because, yeah, you know, you think about AI and Gen AI, whatever else, and you say, oh, it's just the preserve of the tech, the IT area. Yeah. But it's not. The more you delve into it, the more those sort of the use cases and what it can help you. It's way beyond just IT.
It's way beyond IT. And again, it's way beyond efficiency. I think that the temptation and the natural place that people gravitate towards is, how do I use this to save cost? Whereas there really should be three lenses people look at from an AI, from a Gen AI perspective. And if you think of it as a technology, it is actually a creative technology. It is generating as opposed to an efficiency tool. So we would look at three lenses. There absolutely is a cost advantage to using it. There's also a revenue gain advantage for using it. Like, no organization wants to speak to stakeholders about how simply they're containing costs. It needs to have a narrative in terms of how it increases revenue or enables innovation. And maybe let me talk to one or two examples of in those areas. So our network works with a private healthcare provider. And they have used AI within their radiography functions. And what they're doing with it is not an attempt to replace the role of the radiographer. But what AI is enabling to do is to take together image-based data, patient records and lab results, and extrapolate and understand patterns that wouldn't be immediately obvious to the human. And that's giving two benefits. It's actually reducing the number of unnecessary procedures for patients, but also, increasingly important for folks in those type of situations, is it's reducing the time to result. So you go for your visit to your medical practitioner, and that period of anxiousness where you're waiting for the results, they have reduced by 30%. So a very significant development. The other area, I suppose, is enabling people to reimagine how they currently operate processes. So if I look at an area like customer complaints, it's an area that it consumes a lot of resources within organisations across a variety of sectors. The initial focus from an AI perspective was, how could they make that process more efficient? How could we support the agents in the answering of queries? Now you're beginning to think of people saying, well, actually, wouldn't it be far better for everybody if we could use the technology to avoid the complaint in the first instance? So they're using the technology to try and predict the type of areas which have previously have given rise to complaints, so they can get ahead of the game, have a happier customer, take out the cost associated with the answering of queries.
But again, it comes back to that point. I mean, a lot of people are looking at this, they're making a big investment, and it costs money. And it's not immediately obvious where that money is coming back from, but it's a longer road.
It's a longer road, but it's probably a natural progression. I think we find with organisations, ourselves included, you're not going to trust a new technology to do the more ambitious, complex things if you haven't built the confidence and understanding in some of the easier use cases. So the natural starting point for people is to use it to support personal productivity, to support external researching, to get people comfortable with hands-on technology. I've been working in the technology industry for over 30 years.
You don't look like it now. You don't look like it.
But bar none, this technology is the one where there's no substitute for hands-on experience. And within our own organisation, we've got everyone from partners down to get hands-on experience in it, because it begins to get people to understand the capabilities of the product. I'll take a client example for you. We worked with a client who brought us on board to help them on the adoption of the Microsoft M365 collaboration suite. So the initial focus was getting people to use it in the personal productivity areas. But what that did for the folks involved in the pilot was it began to get them thinking about what other applications they could have. And this particular organisation said, well, actually, We do a lot of work answering quality-related queries from our customers across different geographies. It's the same finite set of documentation we have to review every time these queries come in. So they moved from thinking about it in terms of supporting personal productivity in terms of collaboration to building out a very small agent to look over quality documentation to answer queries that were coming in from customers. I'm not sure they would have arrived at that point if that's where they started.
I'm conscious of time, David. I just want to ask you about that point you mentioned earlier about the value gap. How do you know you're putting the money in the right direction? How do you know it's going to work for you? Will this new form of AI help you on that value gap?
So I absolutely believe that it will. I don't think, as you said yourself at the start, that agentic AI is a panacea for some of the challenges that have been faced. I think you must get your upskilling right. You must get your governance right. You must get your controls right. But what agentic AI now gives organizations is the capability to solve more complex problems for where the prize is bigger than when I'm simply dealing with a technology that aids individual personal productivity.
And are companies embracing it?
Companies are embracing it, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. What are the biggest pitfalls or the biggest opportunities that you see?
The biggest pitfalls are for organisations that don't get some of those enablers in place. So running before they've learned to walk in terms of having the right controls and governance arrangements, not giving adequate consideration to cyber. And then equally maybe being not ambitious enough in terms of the type of problems they try to solve. If you simply look at it as a means of a tool of efficiency, you're missing out on some of the more interesting use cases where you get a chance to kind of reimagine individual processes or reimagine how you engage with your customers.
And if you finally, David, if you had one piece of advice to give to companies, what would it be?
Start. Stop reading and start doing.
David Lee, Chief Technology Officer at PwC Ireland, thank you very much for joining me here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Tech Agenda with Ian Keogh. Powered by PwC, thecurrency.news. It pays to be curious.